This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We did a little show and tell at the top of the program yesterday. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross's appearance before the Senate Finance Committee talking steel and aluminum tariffs. We didn't have time to play a whole lot of the secretary yesterday, so we are going to give him his due right now, specifically what he had to say about companies that have applied for exemptions, exclusions is the proper term, from having to pay those tariffs. Here he is.
Based on what we've seen so far, though, there is a high probability that relatively few of those will be granted because many of them have no substance and or have some potential substance but have objections that are well-grounded posted against them.
We've been talking to a bunch of people the past month and a half or so about trying to get one of these exclusions. In other words, to be allowed to import the steel they say they need to make whatever it is that they make. Sam Desai is one of those people. His company makes stainless steel parts for appliances. And we were looking over the list of exclusion requests that are posted at regulations.gov and noticed somebody had objected to one of his.
I have an objection.
Yeah, we saw it before he did, but wait, it gets better because once Sam clicked on it...
The guy who did this comment, I know him for more than 20 years.
The guy that Sam knows for 20 years? His company declined to comment. The way it works is that once an application is posted, American companies that think they can provide the same product that the exclusion is being requested for can post objections. The Department of Commerce has gotten more than 20,000 exemption requests from just the steel tariffs so far. Almost half, Commerce says, have been looked at. 42 have been approved, 56 have been denied. That's out of more than 20,000. The rest of them, including Sam Desai's 13 other exemption requests that he had a look at while we were on the phone, are stuck.
Oh, wow. So they have everybody's objected to everything I've done, basically.
And because his applications are stuck, so is Sam's business.
I don't see any other information that I could post back on their website to comment on what comments were made against me. I'm not sure what to do. I mean, it's my word against the objections.
Steel and aluminum have been getting most of the tariff coverage, but it is a big, wild global trade world out there, so we are going to talk about cars for a minute, specifically European cars, Daimler, BMW, and Volkswagen. Those companies have been talking to American officials about maybe getting rid of their mutual automobile tariffs and threats of automobile tariffs with the United States. William Boston covers the European auto industry for the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Boston, thanks for coming on.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What is the proposal that does seem to be on the table here then?
Well, just to be clear, the car makers themselves can't make any proposals. So that's the prerogative of the European Commission. But the car makers have, in conversations with the U.S. ambassador here, have said that they would have no objections to reducing import tariffs on automotive products to zero.
The catch, of course, being that they then want the Trump administration to drop all this talk of taxing European automotive imports to the United States and all the rest of it. It's got to be
exactly,
you know, all in both ways.
Right. It has to be reciprocal. That's one thing. And negotiations with the Trump administration cannot begin until Trump takes his threats of imposing punitive tariffs against Europe off the table.
Talk to me for a minute then about the news of this morning over here in the States that Daimler is reporting serious problems with potential earnings given China issues and the global nature of the car business today and how these tariffs figure into that.
Right. Well, this is one of the fascinating aspects of this whole discussion is that one of the first victims of a trade war is likely going to be American workers. A really good example of this week, Volvo opened a new plant in the United States. And I was talking to the CEO of Volvo yesterday about the plant and in light of the trade discussion. And he said, well, right now we have 1,200 people employed. In 3 years, we're going to add a second model and we want to boost employment to 4,000 people. But that can only happen if there isn't a disruption through the trade discussion because half of those people will be building cars for export. Foreign automakers are actually contributing to the trade balance of the United States by producing a large number of cars that are exported to Europe, to China, Latin America, and elsewhere.
Trade balance, when you say trade balance, you mean, of course, the positive aspect of the American trade balance as opposed to what
exactly.
The president likes to point to, which is the deficit.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of economists I've talked to have been saying, look, if you really want an indicator of when this trade war chatter that we're all doing here gets serious, when they put cars on the table, that's the one.
Well, you know, what people are saying now is that we're not, in here in Germany, you know, talking to German officials, this is what they're saying, is that we're not in the midst of a trade war yet, but this is how one begins.
You're in Berlin, right?
That's right.
So when you go out for a beer or a cup of coffee, is trade war on people's minds, or are they talking about other stuff?
Oh, they're talking about a lot of things here. Immigration is a huge issue in Germany because the government itself is divided over how to deal with migrants and illegal immigration. When you talk to business leaders, then the global environment is really the most important thing for them. Stability in being able to make long-term business decisions based on a predictable set of rules. And that's what worries them about the trade regime, is that, you know, if they spent billions of dollars building plants in the United States, and now they don't know whether or not those plants are going to be profitable.
William Boston covers the European car industry for the Wall Street Journal. We got him, as I said, in Berlin. Mr. Boston, thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anytime.